Okay, praise the Lord.
Amen.
You guys aren't falling asleep, are you?
No.
Amen. Okay, we're here to be trained.
Amen.
Are you here to be trained?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. We want to open to the Lord for this time. I hope that this line of the training that we've been in would not just be something routine. Some of us may have studied this before. You may know the cycle of life and be able to recount the 4 points. But we need to see that this is actually a spiritual law.
Amen.
Actually, we'll get into this a little bit this morning, and we'll see that just as there are physical laws in this universe, there are spiritual laws,
Amen.
Which are just as resolute and undeniable. Okay? So let's go ahead and review a little bit. What was the first point that we covered on this line of the cycle of life? Eternal life. Hallelujah for the eternal life.
Amen.
We've touched the life that's really life.
Amen.
Aren't you guys happy? We touched life.
Amen.
We're people of life.
Amen.
Okay, this life is the life that's really life.
Amen.
Okay, we're not dwelling on the physiological or the psychological life, right? We're touching a life that's eternal.
Amen.
Okay, I was thinking about it. You know, some guys might like to weightlift, right? And I like to use this analogy because actually that life that you're building up, if you don't maintain it in 72 hours, it begins to diminish. Actually, you could maintain it for a number of decades, but I call it the great muscle migration. At a certain point, that life is going to move. Goes down about 2 feet, you know? Eventually, that life you find is not really life. There is a life that's really life.
Amen.
Anything that disappears is not really life. Actually, even your human life is not really life. Because at a certain point, you're going to die. And then you no longer exist in a physical sense. Real life never stops. There's only one that is eternal. That's the eternal life of God. Hallelujah. And out from this eternal life, we have what?
Fellowship.
Hallelujah. We have fellowship.
Amen.
What is this fellowship? Give me 3 words.
Flow.
A flow.
Circulation.
Circulation.
Current.
Okay, give me one more.
Stream.
Stream river. Hallelujah. How about traffic?
Amen.
We've been brought into traffic.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is the circulation of the divine life. You realize when you touch life, you want to talk to other people who are enjoying the same life. There's a certain little guy inside of you that jumps, right? When I see Nathan, there's something in me. Fellowship. I was a crazy man when I first touched this life. I wasn't in the church life. I was just going denomination to denomination, place to place. I was just seeking, where is this life flowing? And I found a group of Christians. They were all Asian. I was the only white guy. But you know what? There was flowing life.
Amen.
So I said, where are you going? I'm going with you. Okay, there's a fellowship, a circulation, a flowing, a current, and a traffic of this life.
Amen.
We want to be in this. Okay? And then this leads us to what? Light. Hallelujah. I'm going to use a word. I would say this is almost the nexus of this whole cycle. And we want to dwell a little bit on this today. But when we get in the fellowship, there's something that happens. And as our brother Pat was sharing yesterday, it's kind of hard to put into words what exactly light is or what it looks like. It's obtuse. Actually, you only know light because it refracts or it reflects off of something. Okay? So you don't know, you cannot identify a transmission of light until it encounters an object. You know, a crystal, for example, refracts light and shows you the spectrum that's within light, right? You know that there's light because you can see a chair. So you have to have an object in order to be able to have light. Light is rather obtuse. So this is why it's a little bit of a struggle even to share on the matter of light, because it's just difficult to embody practically in our spiritual life. But it is real. And we are learning how to speak the words of this life.
Amen.
And that includes light. Okay? This light then brings us to what? Blood. Okay. As soon as light comes, and we'll get into this more, we need to learn how to take the blood. We need to learn how to apply the efficacious blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The perfect man who died on the cross to become the life-giving Spirit, offering himself up through that Spirit in order to, outside of space and time, provide a way for you to apply his precious cleansing. Okay? We'll get into more of that. That blood brings us back into the enjoyment of more life. I want to present this. This is this is a law. This is a law in the Christian life. If you're an engineer, you could see this as a closed circuit, actually. Do you know, guys know what a closed circuit is? Okay. So there's a circuit here. And what I hope you picked up is that at certain points, you can break the circuit. You know, if you break a circuit, what happens? The whole system breaks down, right? If you have a circulation of electricity that's producing light, you break the circulation, no more light. Okay? So we want to point these out. I hope you understand how burdened we are for this, because this will bankrupt your Christian life if you don't see this. It's kind of like if you don't understand a certain law of gravity or a certain physiological or thermal dynamic law, you're going to be in trouble at a certain point, you know? Just don't hang underneath that construction site with the things that are going up, you know? Eventually what goes up will come down. Okay, if you don't understand these things, you eventually will get in big trouble, okay? So between life, we need to exercise our spirit to enjoy life. We need to get into fellowship. But in fellowship, remember, there's a sense of life with this fellowship. And if you don't obey or follow that sense of life, particularly as our brother Bobby shared a couple days ago, with our speaking, you're going to get in trouble. Actually, you know, 90% of our sinfulness is a product of our speaking. Okay? I hope that this will certainly get elaborated on. Anybody who's got experience in the Christian life will realize, man, why did I say that? So much of our sinfulness is a product of what emanates out of our mouth. Okay? So we need to care for that. This is where we're getting, where I'm burdened for, and I want to dwell on for a little bit, is that we need to learn what it is to deal with light. Okay? Pray for me. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, how do we deal with light?
Amen.
Thank you, you are light.
Amen.
Okay, so this light comes to us, and it shines, and it exposes. Okay? And I appreciated the verse that our brother Pat mentioned yesterday, Ephesians 5:13. Maybe somebody can read this. Actually, before we do that, I forgot to mention one thing. And this is just to reemphasize that this cycle is a law. It's a spiritual law. Okay, so if you read 1 John chapter 1, there's only 10 verses, but let's just read the last five. I want to impress you with one word. Let's go ahead and read Sisters 6, Brothers 7, Sisters 8, up through 10. As soon as you have it, go ahead and start. If we say that we have fellowship with light, yet walk in darkness, we lie and are not practicing the truth. 7. We walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from every sin. 8.
If we say that we do not have sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 10. Okay, I'm going to give you 10 seconds. See if you guys can find a word that's in every one of those verses. Okay, a word that's in every one of those verses. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, anybody?
Yes.
He got it. If. Okay, so this is a law, but it's conditional. Do you get that? There are conditions for the proper function and operation of this law. We are intimately involved with the maintenance and the continuation of the progress of the divine life within us. Okay? So, I just wanted to mention that. Let's get back to Ephesians chapter 5. The first person to look it up, stand and declare boldly. Yep, 5:13.
13.
But all things which are reproved are made manifest by the light.
Amen.
Everything that makes manifest is light.
Amen. All right, I want to enjoy the last phrase. For everything that makes manifest is light. Dwell on that. Everything that makes manifest is light. Light comes to us in a lot of different situations. The Lord speaks, and actually, He is in the light. Meaning, not only is He dwelling in the light, but He is the element in the light. When you receive light, that is the Lord in His expression coming to you. Okay? So He's in the light. You receive the light in everything. But the question is, how much do you receive of it? Now this is where it gets a little finer, okay? Everything. What does that involve? What does that mean? Everything that makes manifest is light. Okay, I think fundamentally our problem is, Lord, I'm open to you as light. Just come to me directly out of the word, because I really don't like that brother, you know? And I don't like that situation, and I don't like that person. But Lord, I'm really open to you as light. Lord, give me more light. And he might say, well, I did, you know. Actually, light comes to us through a lot of different sources. I want to get a little practical, okay? I wrote down three, mainly, that he comes through us. One is our speaking. In Matthew 12, it says that everything that comes out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay, your speaking manifests what's inside your heart. So it may come forth, and you might say, you might get convicted. Hey, you guys have this happen to you? You say something, you throw out a joke, and there's just something in you that's like, ooh, why did I have to say that, you know? My family is full of zingers, you know. That they just get together, and they're just like, zing, 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 zing. And I used to be right in the mix of it, you know. I used to love it, okay? But I get there now, and then I just get pummeled, you know what I mean? Because I want to say something. It's like, you know? Actually, none of my siblings, I have four, are saved. They're not saved. Actually, so when I do let one out, I get convicted. And I'm like, but, you know, it was the atmosphere. I was trying to be all things to all men, you know what I mean? But eventually I realized the Lord just touches. You're just wrong, you know? And I could argue, but I've got so many justifications for that, you know what I mean? You're just wrong. So now I just go and I'm with my family and I just get flayed, you know what I mean? Whoop, whoop, whoop. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for light.
Amen.
Our speaking manifests light. Okay, then I'll give you another verse. This is Psalms 119, verse 130. It says, the opening of your words brings light, imparting understanding to the simple. Okay, so, you know, this is really fascinating, but in the original language there, the word for opening is not like, opening. It's not the act of opening, it's not the gerund there. It's actually a door, the entrance. It's the access point, the egress. in the Word gives light. Okay, that, you know what that means? That means that there's a secret portal in your Bible. I don't know if you knew this. You know what I mean? Sometimes there's a movie or a book or something, and there's a secret book on the wall, and you go and you, boop, and then the chamber opens up, and you can, woo, you know, go down to the Bat Cave or something. Okay, there's a Bat Cave in the Bible. Okay, there is a secret portal. I don't know, you guys, we need to find this. When you find that secret portal in the Bible, light comes. Actually, okay, so one time I was reading my Bible right before going to bed. What the brothers mentioned this morning about what you do before you go to bed really does matter. And I was lying in bed, and I was reading Romans chapter 15, verse 1. And it said, those who are strong ought to bear those who are weak. For you're made strong in order that you might bear those that are weak. And it was so timely. I was just thinking about this brother. I was coordinating with him, fellowshiping with him. I had a real issue with this brother. I was like, dang, this brother has really strong opinions. And I just had an issue with him. And then I opened my Bible. That was just where I was reading my normal reading. And it just hit me. Man, I just don't bear this brother, you know? In a certain sense, I'm strong in order that I might bear him. That's why the Lord made me strong, at least in this context, in that situation, so that I could bear him. That word cut me, you know what I mean? And I could have justified it, disputed with that light, with all kinds of means. But I just, by the Lord's mercy at that point, was able to say, thank you, Lord. I receive that light, and I agree with that light. I don't dispute it. I say amen. Okay, so the Word can bring light. So be people of the Word. Actually, saints, I just got to say, you guys just don't read the Bible enough. I mean, this is one very practical thing. You guys need to learn how to redeem the time. In generations past, this just was a fabric of young people that the Lord could use. But now we just don't read the Bible enough. Honestly, that's just a big problem. How much do you read? How much time do you spend on an app or, you know, on different things? The Lord just can't furnish you that much light because there's not that much Word inside of you to open up. We just need to read the Bible more. That's the fellowship was yesterday, right? I'll tell you, brothers, when I was 21, I'm not going to tell you how much I read the Bible. I read the Bible a lot, okay? Sometimes I read I read the major prophets in a weekend, okay? That's 21, okay? So you're not too young to be people of the Word, to just be saturated with it. It will give the Lord a lot of opportunity to speak in you, okay? Hallelujah. The second thing, or the last point that I want to bring out in terms of sources of light is light is in the house of God. Amen. There's a lot of light when you come together. Actually, if you're ever in the dark and you kind of have your phone, you know, you're trying to find your way, you know, that's like your personal time with the Lord, you know. But then you come into the church, it's like click, whoa, you know, that's light. Actually, there's a lot of light in God's house. We just need to be sensitive to receive it in every form and channel through which it comes. So coordination is a big opportunity to receive light. Whatever channel, whatever means. Actually, a lot of times somebody doesn't have to say something. Actually, I was with a brother one time, and I was visiting him, and we sat down, and we were just fellowshipping, and he was talking about how he was having a hard time in a coordination with someone. And I was like, you must have been talking to somebody I was talking to. You know what I mean? Because I was having like this same issue with somebody. I was like, who told you that? You know what I mean? Sometimes, does that happen to you? Nobody, actually, it's not somebody speaking to you directly, but it's light in God's house. We just learn to say, amen. I agree with it. Okay? Hallelujah. Okay. We go until 10:30? Okay, I'm going to leave you plenty of time, though. Okay, let's go ahead and turn to the outline here. Let's go ahead and read Roman numeral 1. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from every sin. Amen. The blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us
Amen.
From every sin.
Amen.
Amen. This is a good verse to pray. Read. Just have this inside of you. Ashley, memorize this verse. Ashley, tell me, will you memorize this verse? Amen. That was a weak amen. Come on. Amen.
Amen.
I will memorize 1 John 1:7. I'll memorize 1 John 1:7. I hope it's on a test, okay? Okay. Just to have this is to have an arsenal inside of you. When the time does come, this word will be very helpful to you, okay? Let's go, let's read through these. When we live in the divine light, we are under its enlightenment, and it exposes all our sin, trespasses, failures, and defects, which contradict His divine nature. Actually, you know what sin really is? Does anybody have a good verse? What is sin? The most clear, succinct verse in the Bible for what sin is. Anybody? Nope. 1 John 3:4. Sin is lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. The essence of sin is that it's a rebellion against God. Anything that is against Him is sin. It may not seem wrong, but actually it's just not His nature. Therefore, it's sin. It's the living out of another serpentine nature. That's sin. It may manifest as defects, shortages, wrongdoings, failures. It's just not Him, so it needs to be confessed. Okay? The purpose of the blood is to cleanse all the areas which are incompatible with God and to remove all the situations which do not match Him. The tense of the verb cleanses in Greek is present and continuous. Hallelujah, it's present and continuous. Indicating that the blood of Jesus, the Son of God, cleanses us all the time.
Amen.
Continuously and constantly. Let's have brothers on one, sisters on two.
Before God, the redeeming blood of the Lord has cleansed us once for all eternity. And the efficacy of that cleansing lasts forever.
Amen.
Needing of no repetition.
Amen.
All right.
Amen. There's a lot to say here in terms of the difference between these two. I'll take a minute on doing so. You know, the Lord died on the cross, as our brother Tim mentioned yesterday. And you could draw this. You know, this is a circle. The Lord in Hebrews chapter 9 was offered up Himself as a sacrifice for sin through the eternal Spirit. And so this is the cross. Back here we have Abraham and Moses and David and Nehemiah, etc., etc. And then here we have ones like Martin Luther and you. You could draw it forever. But the Lord offered Himself once for all. Okay? And so these Old Testament saints, they looked forward to. And in Hebrews 11 it says, by faith they appropriated what was to be accomplished. Likewise, you don't see or experience Christ physically today offering Himself. But by faith, we look back to and take the once for all, constant and eternal blood that was shed. So it's standing there perpetually. Okay, so this is one side of the perpetual efficacy of the Lord's blood. It's always there. It's always available. There's another point which... It's in the excerpts. We won't dwell on it too much, but that's from Numbers chapter 19. It talks about the red heifer. And I just say, I read that. I would say that's not the main burden, But if you are a diligent student of the Word, get into it. The difference is that this was constant, once for all, but the red heifer's blood was shed, and it was preserved, and it was available to be used in a instantaneous or a a continuous way. So the Lord's blood, in one sense, was shed for all sins, but in another sense, it's ready for you to apply on a moment-by-moment basis. And I want to just touch one law here. And this is that when you confess, when you apply the Lord's blood, it triggers another law in this universe. And this law is a law that invokes the very righteousness of God. In Psalms chapter 89, verse 14, it says that the foundation of God's throne is righteousness and justice. Okay? So God, and everything he does is righteous. Actually, he's obligated to be so. If not, in Job, we see that Satan's right at that throne room. In Revelation, he's the accuser of the brethren. He's right there. God, you're not righteous. You can't do that. Okay, so God is obligated to maintain his righteousness. So when you apply the blood, in Romans 1, it says that, the gospel is the power of God, because the righteousness of God is revealed in it. So, in the blood of Christ, the righteousness is conveyed. Because when you apply that, it fully responds to every problem that exists. Because that blood was for the payment for the sin of the whole world, you are included in that. Every time you accumulate more sins, however, there needs to be a instantaneous application of that blood. It took place once for all, but you need the continuous application. Okay. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. There's so much more to say on that, but I really want to leave time for Phil here. So I'm just going to leave the rest for you guys. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's this law.
Amen.
And it's operating.
Amen.
And we need to be unveiled to it, that we can cooperate with it, that it could bring us unto maturity. Oh, just 30 seconds more. If we don't, I would just tell you, you can advance in your Christian life in other ways, in a sense. You may accumulate knowledge, you may build up a behavior or a persona that actually will become a big frustration to you later on in life. You may develop in a certain sense, but if you don't learn this, actually, everything is becoming more and more extrinsic to you. And there are cases like this. We know cases like this. Don't do that. Don't go that way. Learn that the Christian life progresses in this cycle.
Amen.
This cycle of life. Learn how to cooperate. Give the Lord the ground at every stage.
Amen.
Amen.
Whoever has a recovery version handy with notes, maybe you could turn to 1 John 1:7. And I'd like to just have us, maybe one person can read footnote 3. So that would be 1 John 1:7, footnote 3. Does anyone have it handy? Okay, how about you stand up and maybe three or four of you, why don't you stand up, Corey, and also you, sister, and Zach, and just take a sentence apiece and just kind of go around and read really strongly and clearly. But I want you all to savor this footnote. This footnote is gold, like many. And if you, it's worthy of being hung on the wall on a laminated sheet of paper in your shower. I mean, it is something. I don't get tattoos and I never will, but if it was shorter, you know, it's like I would it's so precious. So listen closely to this note and the utterance within and savor it for the rest of the week and your life. How about we start with you and then we'll just go around the three of you. Read strongly though.
We live in divine light. We are under its enlightenment and it exposes according to God's divine nature and through God. Such a time when sense in our enlightened conscience the need of the cleansing of the redeeming blood of the Lord Jesus, and it cleanses us in our conscience from all sins that our fellowship with God and with one another may be maintained.
Amen. Our relationship with God is unbreakable, yet our fellowship with Him can be interrupted.
Okay, Zach, read that again.
Our relationship with God is unbreakable, yet our fellowship with Him can be interrupted.
Okay, how about everyone recite that?
Our relationship with God is unbreakable.
Amen.
Yet our fellowship with Him can be interrupted.
You have to treasure those words, even the specific word, unbreakable and interrupted. They're precious and they're full of spiritual meaning. Our relationship with God is
unbreakable,
but our fellowship can be
interrupted.
Oh, just absorb it. Okay, keep going.
Yep.
Amen. Okay, keep going. We'll get this last paragraph.
In this section of the word, there's a cycle in our spiritual life. A cycle formed of four spiritual things: the eternal life, the fellowship of the eternal life, the divine light, and the blood of Jesus, the Son of God.
Amen. Amen.
Such a cycle brings us onward in the growth of the divine life.
Amen.
Until we reach the maturity of life.
Amen. That's it? Okay. So, one thing I really appreciate about the ministry, and I believe if you grew up in the church life like me, you may not appreciate it that much, but the ministry that we are under, the ministry of the age, God's New Testament ministry, it's very technical. Have you ever noticed this? Like, if you ever read other Christian exposition or listen to, you know, a lot of the things being taught kind of at large in Christianity, one characteristic is a lot of the speaking is very general, like related even to your being. Like, what are you? Are you a, you know, oh, this is happening in your heart. Well, what's my heart? Who cares? It's inside, you know, somewhere. And it's, you know, like nobody ever digs into, and sometimes we've been made fun of because it's like three parts of the Spirit. Who cares? You know, isn't it enough to have Jesus in you? And it's like, well, it depends. If all we want is a little growth in life, then that's plenty. Just have Jesus in you. But if we want to advance in our growth in life, what do you need? You need technical terms. You need a detailed understanding, not just of who you are. How many parts do you have? Three. Right? What happened to everyone? How many parts do you have?
Three.
Your body? Your soul? Your soul has three functions, right? Do you know what they are? Well, don't tell me. But your spirit has three functions. You know, we just want to get ready to play trivia someday, or, you know, related to these things? No. It matters. Okay. The ministry has opened up something in the Word that is very technical. It's detailed. It's utterly foolish to say, can't we just call the Lord a lot? No, you cannot call the Lord a lot. You need to understand that God's economy experientially proceeds this way. There's a cycle of God's economy. Imagine that this is the wheel of God's economy. It needs to be rolling somewhere. It needs to be in motion. So we should never despise that footnote, for example. I hope that before you leave, you would have some definite sense of the cycle of the fellowship of the divine life. So I just will touch on a couple things. One is the blood, which is really the subject of today. Let's read Roman numeral 2 and A real quick. Brothers, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, God is faithful in His word to forgive us our sins and righteous in His redemption to cleanse us from all unrighteousness that we may abide of the divine fellowship. Sisters, read B. Because Christ for us. Amen. You like, does that sound polite towards God to say something like, God has no choice? Doesn't that make you feel a little like, whoops? God has no choice. God has no choice. Would you ever say, God, no choice for you? Actually, brothers and sisters, He would be very pleased if you would learn to do that with regard to applying the blood. That's why in this verse it says, He is faithful and righteous to forgive. Now, why are those terms there? Why does it say He's righteous to forgive? Because in our relationships, righteousness has nothing to do with whether, right? If I ding your car up there in the parking lot and I'm like, Ryan, I just put a big scratch on your door. And you'd say, it's okay. I'm righteous. It's like, what does that have to do with it? You're not righteous. You're just mellow. You're just a nice person. You're just a chill guy who drives an old car maybe, right? It's not. But in the Bible, it says, God forgives. He's righteous. What does that have to do with Him forgiving and cleansing? Well, it has to do with what the gospel is based on. The gospel and God's ability and not just his ability, the requirement upon Him to forgive us and cleanse us is based upon the one righteous act of redemption. This is why Romans 1:17 says that the gospel is the power of God, because it's not because the love of God is revealed in it, it's because the righteousness of God is revealed in it. Okay, this is a technical, you know, I'm not talking about the love of God. I'm saying the gospel is powerful because God's righteousness is revealed in it. You have to see this. Otherwise, you will get stuck here. Because you will think that when you come to the Lord in response to light, or that God is able and willing to forgive you because of how He feels about you. And the enemy can poison your mind about how God feels about you. Or maybe God does feel that way about you. You know, in a sense, it doesn't really matter, because the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. In other words, He's righteous to forgive. It is very proper and actually very well-pleasing to God to come to Him and say, I confess this matter to You. And I realize, Lord, this is not the first time. In fact, I've lost count. But nonetheless, I confess this matter to You. I did do this. Now, if you were like me, you would have shut the door on this conversation a long time ago. But because You're God, and because You're righteous, You have to forgive me, and You have to cleanse me. This is a very good way to apply the blood. I don't mean in a belligerent, rebellious way. I don't mean that. Actually, the more we apply the blood, the more humble we become. But if you come to the Lord without a solid understanding that He must, because Christ rose from the dead as the receipt of God's approval, He must forgive us when we confess. He must cleanse us. He must apply the blood. Praise the Lord. You have to learn how to speak that to the Lord and also to the devil. Okay? This is kind of a make or break situation, because sooner or later, saints, All of us will have a failure that is so great or so extended that you just won't be able to believe that the Lord could get over it. It's like, not this one, not this one. But that's the enemy. But you won't know it. Not this one. Not this many times. Not this many times. And even you have to be able to open your Bible to Romans 1:17 and say, the righteousness of God is revealed in it. Amen. Hallelujah for the power of the gospel. Amen. He is faithful and righteous to forgive. Amen. Just repeat those words to yourself, to the Lord, and to the devil. Psalm 89 talks about God's throne being based upon the foundation of his throne is righteousness and justice. That means if he can't just decide to ignore the blood that was shed for you and cause you to pay the fee twice for your sins. If he did that, the whole universe would just collapse because it's based on his righteousness. Well, so legally, even though love and grace can fluctuate, righteousness cannot. Praise the Lord. Amen. God, you have to forgive me. Amen. Have you ever said that? Julian, have you ever said, God, you have to forgive me? Okay, yeah, sorry. Maybe I shouldn't dig into things. But I've said it. Paul, have you said that? God, you have to forgive me. Yes. And I don't mean it like, I just mean, you have to forgive me. Yeah. You have to forgive me. You chose me and put me in the church. And I need to go on. You have to forgive me. Okay, now I'm getting to this other point related to life. And what Paul was sharing about this cycle and being interrupted is really right. We can stop. Like if you stop exercising your spirit at all, you just stop exercising. You've cut off the cycle here. You're not touching the eternal life through the function of fellowship of your human spirit. So there really won't be any fellowship. It's possible for us to, or we may have fellowship. We may be quite exercised, and the light is there. Things are manifest in us, but we're resisting them. We're ignoring them. That's not light. Oh, we're comparing ourselves with everyone else. That's not light. I don't want to be religious. You know what I mean? Just all the things that come because we have not trained well. We're not exercised in this kind of activity to seek light. Really, we don't need to seek light. We just need to open. Amen. You just need to say, Lord, what do you see? Here I am. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. And it doesn't take long, right? Before he's like, and you hate him. You love me, but you don't like that brother. Every time he stands up to speak, you just want to leave. And it's like, okay. Really? Yes. What should you do? Confess. You know what confess, what's the Greek word for confess? Homologeos, which means, homo means the same. And logos is word. Logos is word, sorry. So confess means to speak the same word. So when we're in the light, the Lord comes, he touches something. What should you do? Confession is not to throw yourself on the ground necessarily and do something painful to yourself. Neither is confession to wait a long time. Confession is just to speak the same thing. So confession also, to apply the blood here, is not to just say, everything I ever did that was rotten and bad, I take the blood. Is that a confession? Kind of. But that's not the kind of confession that our conscience needs. That's, in a sense, the kind of confession a dying thief on the cross might make, because he's only got a few minutes. But we are here, and we need a detailed experience of this life cycle. So for us, when we're in the light, the Lord is saying, Zach, well, I don't like to project things on anyone, but okay, He's touching specific things. Look at how sloppy you are. Look at how angry you are. Look at the things you say. Hey, Paul, did you know that sometimes when you say things, you say them so that people will like you more and not the Lord more? Do you know how much self comes out when you're trying to explain something? You know, that's light. And all these reasonings can come, and we can say, well, eh. But what should we do? Say, yes, Lord. Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord, I just can't help it. I hate that too. I do that. I'm so sorry, Lord. Lord, anytime someone says my name, a little part of me is happy about it. I just love glory. I love hearing people, you know, like me. I'm jealous. I really hate that. And we just need to respond to that. And yes, Lord, I did watch that. I watched it. And I already confessed watching it a month ago. And I just watched it again. I did do it. We have to confess. Now, I'm coming to kind of my burden here, which is the cycle. This is not a path towards the blood. It's a cycle. So it's not that we start in eternal life, which results in, like, oh, I'm regenerated. Now I have fellowship. Fellowship brings in light, and light brings me to the blood. Blood and the application of the blood through confession brings us to what? The New Jerusalem. No, it brings you to life, which brings in more fellowship, more light. So it's a cycle. Now, the enemy has a lot of tactics to frustrate us from participating in all the steps of this cycle. Like, don't come to the Lord and open because he'll take away things you love. Or don't come to the Lord and open because the things that you've done are just too much for the blood. Nonsense. Or don't come to the Lord and, right? But sometimes we're the ones who interrupt the life cycle because we think that the goal is merely to come and apply the blood. That's not the goal. The goal of being in the cycle of life is God's economy, which means that we are in an increasing cycle of experiencing all these matters. Let me give you some good verses. Romans 5:18. You ready? Listen to this. One righteous act unto justification of life. Amen. Okay? One righteous act unto justification of life. Amen. So when we apply the blood, the goal is the eternal life. The result should be life. Okay, next. Acts 11:18. I like this one a lot. That's where the Jews say, then to the Gentiles also God has given repentance unto life. You know that verse? To the Gentiles also God has given repentance unto life. Is your repentance unto life, brothers and sisters? Or is your repentance unto being cleansed? Thank you, Lord, for cleansing me. See you later. You know, sometimes that's not enough to motivate us. Repentance unto life. Okay, how about this one? Romans 5:10. Everyone knows this one. But if we... How's it go? For if we, being enemies, were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved in his life. Again, you see, there's a cycle here. This is why don't let the enemy make this some kind of who's the cleanest? Who has made the fewest mistakes? Even last night, like that word on the vessel is very important and needful. And we need to heed that with all seriousness. Take care of your vessel. But I know that some of us in this room have made serious mistakes already. This is just statistically a guarantee. So what? Well, experience repentance unto life. The divine life can come in and heal us. And the divine life, when we come to the Lord and we confess our failures, though they be very great, the divine life can come in and heal us. This is the proper experience of the cycle of life. In a sense, I'll just repeat a word we heard last week or 2 weeks ago in Genesis, is I'm not making light or diminishing the seriousness of sins that affect our vessel, because they are quite serious. However, when the Bible speaks of losing the birthright and of long-term consequences, like in Hebrews 12 when it talks about Esau, it refers to him, it doesn't refer to his failure, but it refers to his person. It says, don't be like this profane person or fornicator, Esau. So I would just like to say to all of you, you're here. You're here in this room this morning. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
No matter what you've done, you're here. No matter what we've done, we're here. And God has shed his blood in the person of Jesus Christ, and he has solved every problem, every mistake, every failure. And now that blood is eternally effective and instantly effective to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, we need to be forgiven in our conscience for fellowship. But even sin, the sins that we've committed, they produce a stain, a kind of feeling in us that hinders our conversation. What do we need? We still need the blood, not just for forgiveness, but for cleansing. Right now, the blood of Jesus is cleansing us from every sin. Don't be stuck in a kind of any kind of condemnation. You have to realize you're here. You're not out there not hearing these words. The fact that you're in here and we're under this speaking means God has chosen you to run this race. He has every confidence, not in you, but in his own life and in the development of the eternal life in you. Now, eternally, that life will blossom and flourish and manifest in you to glorify you to the fullest extent, no matter what mistakes we've already made. But we have to be those who understand technically how to participate in this today. No one is disqualified. Do you understand? No, none of us have been disqualified. Praise the Lord. It's just the enemy. He wants to say, you blew it. But there's no way that you could be here and have blown it. Praise the Lord. The blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from every sin. The blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from every sin. Every sin. Sometimes, just tell the enemy, every sin. Every sin. Thank you, Lord, you've cleansed me from every sin. But that's not the goal, is to celebrate my cleansing. No. Thank you, Lord, that I can have fellowship with you.
Amen.
Repentance unto life. Justification unto life. Hallelujah for your flowing life. I need your life to fill me. Your perfect life. Your human life. Your fine flower mingled with oil life. I receive that life today. Come to your word and pray read. Saturate me. All the thoughts that have been poisoned, keep washing them away. Day by day, all my old habits, all my proclivities, all the things I fall into. Lord, Lord, more life, Lord, more flowing, Lord, Lord Jesus. Okay, that's the cycle. That's the cycle. Every day should be like this, and we won't graduate from failing until our body is transfigured. But we shouldn't get stuck in any way. So, the sins need God's forgiveness, and the unrighteousness needs His cleansing. How about we just finish off the outline? Brothers, you read one, and sisters read two. Then we'll all read the focus. Sins. Both sisters. Amen. Let's read the focus. In our experience of the cycle of life for the growth in life, the divine light exposes all our sins.
And brings us to the cleansing of the blood.
Amen. Of God, which is effective to restore and maintain our fellowship in life.
To apply the cleansing of the blood, we must confess our sins to God.
According to the shining
of the divine light in our conscience.
Amen. So the last verse on the outline is Acts 24:16, where Paul says, "For this reason, because he's a steward, I always exercise myself to have a conscience void of offense toward God and men." That means Paul always was conscious of this cycle, and every day he exercised to make sure that the wheel was moving. I hope you can have the same exercise. The enemy just, he can't stop you. He can't stop us if we're in this economy. This economy is going to shatter his empire, his kingdom. So make sure the wheel is turning, saints. The enemy's a liar. Do you see that now? He's lying to you. He's trying to get you to give up, to check out, to DQ yourself, put yourself on the disabled list. But these words equip us to stay in the game. Get in the game. Apply the blood. Call on the Lord. Apply the righteous, faithful redemption of the Lord to your situation, no matter what it is. You can do this. And really, this experience is a kind of threshold of adulthood in your Christian life. If you can't break through in this, you're going to get stuck. You're going to get stuck. So take this word, take that footnote, and keep endeavoring. Amen. So, what now? Okay.
Why don't we take 1 or 2 minutes just to pray individually, to open to the Lord, just silently in our seats. Maybe the Lord is shining on something. This is a chance.